Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Certainly, it is time to go into God's Word, studying together, hearing what He would have us do as He teaches us on a daily basis right here on the Glorious Morning Show. Thank you so much for coming through. As we go into our Make It Practical segment, we are looking at the fifth commandment this week, and we want you to understand the terms in terms of this commandment of honoring our parents, the forgiveness versus reconciliation motif, right? We want to tackle the difference between forgiveness and reconciliation, understanding what it means to define and distinguish between these two. In many pulpits, these two words are sometimes fused together as though forgiving or forgiveness, seeking it, means you have repented. Or someone being offered forgiveness means they have repented, right? And we're told that if we truly forgive, we must immediately restore the relationship. But must these two always go together? Forgiveness, reconciliation, do they always have to accompany each other, is the question we want to find out, right? Could that be dangerous, maybe even, to understand Scripture in that sense? Perhaps that's what we need to unpack, this understanding of Romans 12 and the life of Joseph, maybe as well as a case study, to understand how to release resentment without setting yourself up to be crushed all over. Again, Pastor Motoya joins us on the line. Moruti, good morning and welcome again.
Thank you. Thank you so very much. Good morning to you. And how are you doing today?
No, doing okay, Mfundisi. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. Appreciating you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. So, Mfundisi, we are continuing with our lesson and looking at the fifth commandment, the one that God calls us to honor our parents, right? And we want to understand this idea, and we laid the base in our previous session where we looked at how to deal with toxic parents, and then you counseled us on how some of the approaches should look like. Maybe let's rehash that. Talk to us from a scriptural perspective to say, what are those clear conditions from the Bible that are required for a broken relationship to be restored?
Thank you very much for that question. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to say that indeed from the Bible, you look at the clear conditions that are required. And one of it is just the issue of forgiveness.
Okay.
Yes. So the issue of forgiveness comes in as one of the things that you can do to mend, a broken relationship.
Okay.
Yeah, because you realize that sometimes when you want justice, you will not really get the very best. After all, when you look at it, you realize that even ourselves, we may deserve justice, but God doesn't treat us with justice. Mm. Yes. Mm. So because of that, we see that forgiveness comes in. But I want us to also look at it in another way, that this should not just come like that. There should be also the issue of one person apologizing, one person making confession.
Okay.
Yeah, where they are able to say, I'm sorry for causing this in your life. I'm sorry for this and that in your life. So there is that part of confession.
Mm-hmm.
And then when that part is done, the Bible is very clear that there must be now the issue of both of you pursuing a peace, because
okay.
Now you have looked into yourselves.
Okay.
Now this must be where both of you are pursuing peace,
Mm-hmm.
And once you pursue peace, then that's where now the issue of forgiveness comes in. Because forgiveness becomes like, a glue, that restores the glue that restores now what was broken to bring them together into one thing. Forgiveness now is where you are able to let go of the bitterness probably you have had as a child in your life, and then you let go of that bitterness. Yeah, so that is where forgiveness comes in. But guess what? It doesn't end with just forgiveness.
Yeah,
there must be behavioral change. Yes, there must be behavioral change, because if you say, "Oh, I think there's this which was wrong," and then the other person confesses, "Okay, I didn't know that this is how it meant to you. This is, you know, how, you know, it was with you," and so on. You know, "I am sorry for this. Forgive me." The forgiveness should not just be a lip service. The forgiveness should now go further to behavioral change. Yes. And once there is that behavioral change, believe me, then you realize that now reconciliation can happen between now these two people very well. It could be a parent and a child, in most cases an adult child.
Yeah.
Then the reconciliation, you know, happens, and then that broken relationship is fully restored. Yeah. So all I'm saying is that this is very possible to restore broken relationships.
Certainly, certainly. Well, thank you so much, Mfundisi, for that in-depth answer. Maybe a follow-up would be to say, I mean, you listed quite a number of ingredients that are necessary for us to have a restored relationship, a mended one. Are all these components imperative? Are they absolutely necessary? In other words, will one missing, say, for example, if one doesn't ask for forgiveness, or one does not change their ways, or one doesn't, make amends to the wrongs that were done, is that then meaning that, in essence, you will not find reconciliation being the order of the day? The relationship will not be restored.
Well, Derek, I think we need to know that forgiveness is not reconciliation.
Okay.
Yeah, those are two different things. Yes, you would need forgiveness to as a firm step towards reconciliation. But you can forgive without reconciliation. So why we have to bring the entire thing together is because of the word in your question of restored. Yeah. Now, the restored is coming from the same root word of reconciliation.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So so fully restored, that we are talking about reconciliation. So when it comes to forgiveness alone, forgiveness doesn't need reconciliation. In other words, you can forgive a dead person.
Okay.
You can, but you cannot reconcile with a dead person. Yes. You can forgive somebody who is not even there. Yeah. Because forgiveness is just to let go of that bitterness. Forgiveness is when you now choose, you make a choice to interpret what happened differently now, where you let go of the desire for revenge, you let go of that bitterness, where you'd even feel good if they also have tears, and you'd not feel good if they are succeeding and they are happy. So you let go of that bitterness, which of course comes also with resentment. But the issue is, for you to reconcile, you still need them to come and humble themselves, yes, and say, "Wow, I have now realized there's this part which I didn't actually see it this way, the way you are seeing it. Now that's when I'm really getting it, the way, you know, it affected you. I didn't know. Sorry, my son. Sorry, my daughter. For me, I was... At that time, I thought I was doing it for you. I was doing it. But from what you have now shared with me, No. So there's that where somebody comes, they humble themselves and so on. And that is the only way that reconciliation can take place. Now, that reconciliation cannot take place if there is no behavioral change. So there must be behavioral change. Yes. So where there is behavioral change now, then things will happen. Yes. Yeah, so that if there is a particular language, there's particular acts, there's particular way, manipulation or anything of that nature that was being done, maybe gaslighting or whatever you, all that will have to change. Yes. Then that the two words you used in your question, fully restored, then that's when it will become a reality.
Mfundisi, you know, it sounds very simple and straightforward, especially when you apply to generic relationships, acquaintances, friendships, and so forth. But how does that play out when it is a parent-child relationship? I mean, the scripture is clear: honor your parents. And you hinted in our previous session on how sometimes the way a parent behaved to you would be the total opposite of how they will respond to your child, right, to their grandchildren. So to cut them off because you said they were a bit toxic in raising me might not be the right standard, because they will be perfect grandparents, right? So how does this idea of saying no, I will, I can forgive you, but I won't reconcile? How does it actually play out practically in terms of a parent-child relationship?
Well, I want to say that it's something that requires wisdom.
Yeah.
But it's something that you need to appreciate. To some extent, you are actually helping that parent. How are you helping that parent?
Okay.
Because if we can probably call that sinning, mm-hmm. that the parent was sinning, mm-hmm. you are helping that parent not to continue sinning. So it is still possible to forgive, reconcile, but yet you set boundaries. Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. In other words, there is no rule that says because you have forgiven and because you have reconciled, then you should get back to the exact, relationship that you had before. No. So, in other words, you can still reconcile and still get there, but yet you set boundaries. In other words, I want us to appreciate one thing here. Mm-hmm. Honoring your parents is something that you cannot stop. Yes. You continue. But yet, in the relationship, the nature of the relationship, the word relationship is simply coming from the word relate. So in the way you are relating,
yes,
it will now be slightly different. But yet, you are still honoring them. Honoring them is this respect you are giving them. So you mm-hmm. give them the respect, but the way you are relating now is slightly different. So that is basically how I look at it.
No, thank you so much for that. You can have a relationship that is just a bit tweaked. It doesn't have to be standard and with all holes unbarred. When you go through Romans chapter 12, the counsel coming through from Paul is as though peace in a relationship is one-sided. He says as much as depends on you, as far as depends on you. How do you apply that when for example, relationships are such because there's more than one party involved, right? The other have a right to respond in the manner that they choose. They've got free will to either respond positively or negatively. How do you, as much as depends on you, in a family child, in a parent-child relationship, where maybe you are trying your level best, but the other party seems nonchalant and hell bent on just being themselves, especially because they're the parent, right? They feel somehow exonerated by the age and by the status and the office that you were mentioning yesterday, to say they have an office and you should respect the office. How do you balance then and say as much as depends on you? Is there ever a time where this much as depend on you can be I think it's enough, I can cut off now?
I like that. Not really. I think what Paul was simply putting across is to help us with the guilty that usually comes.
Okay.
When you feel like, this is not how it's supposed to be. And then we usually have that guilty that comes with us. Yeah, so Paul was trying to help us with that guilty, so that it is clear, on our side, you know, it's clear on our side that, hey, if it is possible, then peace is not always possible. Yeah, so okay. When he is saying, if it is possible, peace is not always possible. So it's just to take care of the guilty, because there are times when we have this guilty where we feel all the time it has to be possible.
Yeah.
All the time it has to be possible. Yeah, so we have this kind of a thing. But I think we need to know that here we are talking about the peace that comes because of the reconciliation, where we say two people now are involved.
Mm-hmm.
So peace requires two willing participants.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. These are two willing participants who are not being forced. So you can throw all your energy, humility, boundaries, and grace into that relationship.
Mm.
But if the other person is committed to control, is committed to chaos, is committed to manipulation, is committed to abuse, is, you know, peace cannot happen. So Paul builds something to cushion us so that we are able to understand that, yes, even as a child of God, you can do the best that you can and pray about it, but by the end of the day, it may not come.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and then he says, as far as it depends on you, you are only responsible for your half of the equation. You cannot control the other person's toxic, attitude. You cannot control the other person's refusal. You can't control the other person, to say, oh, you're refusing to repent, I'll force you, I'll do. No, you can't control that.
You can't
even control the other person's anger or the other person's bitterness.
Mm.
In other words, we need to appreciate that we are not in control of everything under the sun.
Yeah.
We are not even in control. In fact, maybe I should even make a general or blank statement here. Just a general word or blank statement here. I think it should be something that we must know, that when it comes to our parents, there will never be a day when you are authorized by God to control them.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. There is never a day, no matter how wicked they are, no matter how, like they don't think properly, you are the wise one, you are the intelligent one, and you're there is no day when God is saying to you, can you control your parents now? No, that is not your place to control your parents. Yeah. So all that I'm saying is, you need to, when Paul says, as far as it depends on you and so on, he is trying to just say, you can't control your parents. You don't have that capacity. You don't have that authority, to control your parents. So which means there is somewhere where you need to know, yes, this parent, made something wrong and so on. but you can't control them.
Yeah, yeah. It's got an end so, place, yeah. Certainly.
But I think we need to also appreciate that there's probably a difference between honoring and obedience.
Okay.
Yeah, because there's a verse in the Bible that says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The word used is obey.
Yeah.
Okay. So, but then there is also a different word used in Exodus. That was Ephesians 6 verses 1.
Mm-hmm.
Now in Exodus 20:12, it has a different language. It says honor. Honor. Now, we need to just maybe simplify it by saying obedience is required for children under their parents' roof. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Because obedience is the same one we use even when it comes to God. So when God says this, we follow.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So when parents say in my home, you must be here by 6 p.m. You follow. You don't ask questions. You follow. Of course, it's not where you obey them to sin. No, that's not what we are saying.
Mm-hmm.
But we are just saying the obedience under your parents' roof there is practical. But you see, the Bible says, honor your father and your mother. Then your days will be long. Yes. So honor is a lifelong command.
Yeah.
You know? Yes. It's a lifelong command. But again, I want us to just agree on very important thing here. That when it comes to honor, it does not mean you submit to abuse.
Mm.
No. Yes, as an adult, you honor your parents, yeah, by treating them with basic human dignity.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. That dignity you give them because they are your parents, but not to submit to abuse or anything that probably belittles you, things that brings you down.
Not
those three things. Don't go there. Yeah. And protect yourself from that trauma. Don't allow the trauma to continue and so on. No, that is not it. But I want us to appreciate also that, you see, this doesn't come easily. Yeah. It is painful to make those boundaries. It's painful, to change in the way you are honoring your parents. Very, very painful. Because they have done a lot in your life.
May God help us, Morotisi, to apply these profound lessons that you're sharing with us this week. We'll have to leave it here for today, but thank you so much once again for taking us through, and may God bless you.
Thank you so very much, and just keep hope alive. Thank you.
Amen. Well, that's our pastor, Mfundisi Mutoya, encouraging us to ensure that we do all things. I like that verse, in the Lord, and remember to honor the ones who came and gave us life.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.